Lee Chambers
on Cambridge 105 Radio.
Azelna Lawrence, good morning.
Hello, Lee.
Good morning. Nice to see you. Happy New Year. Yeah. God, we do still say that now. At what point do we stop saying it?
For the rest of the year, I think.
Yes, after January,
yes,
I suppose.
Maybe.
It seems a bit silly in August. How are you? Well?
Very well. And yourself?
Yes, good. And you're here to talk about setting targets and goals for children. We'll talk about the semantics of that in just a moment. But you're a children's life coach and author of The Secret Parent. What is a children's... Well, before we get into setting goals, what is a children's life coach?
Well, at the heart of what I do as a kids' life coach is a very simple idea of getting children to make really good choices in their life by being the leaders of their own lives.
So that's taking control how? That means making different decisions?
Giving them the tools to be able to navigate the ups and downs of life with confidence.
Excellent. Can you give me some, please?
Yeah, of course I can. We all have an inner child.
We do. So we're talking about setting goals and targets today. When I said targets to you in the email, you said, well, I prefer the word goals. Why is that?
Well, goals is just something that's internationally recognised, and it is associated with the field of coaching, where we set tangible steps in achieving something. A target implies that you're aiming for something, and if you miss, it's okay. Whereas a goal, we want you to reach that.
Oh, right. Goals are very definitely be reachable.
That's it. Achievable.
So goals for children, they're appropriate? Because some people might feel you're putting a little bit of pressure on children. What kind of situation would you give a child a goal?
Wow, the younger you can start, the better it is. And a goal could be something as small as a young child getting them to choose their clothes in the morning and getting themselves dressed before school. Or a goal could be brushing their teeth every morning. It doesn't have to be massively big things, because traditionally we think of goals as these big things we have to achieve. But they can be small, little incremental things that you can start at a very young age. For instance, eating 3 rainbow vegetables every day.
And under what circumstances might you set goals? Because the ones you're talking about, getting dressed, getting your teeth brushed, I mean, those are the things that children ought to do every morning. I suppose some children drag their feet over-ish or complain about it.
Of course. So goal setting is a way of building confidence in children. And so what we do as coaches is you start with the small manageable things, because success breeds success. So as soon as a child takes ownership of something and they feel the success, that will encourage them and drive them to try the next thing and to make the next thing a little bit harder. And so you go. So when you speak about the pressure you spoke of earlier, we don't aim to put pressure on children. We aim to reduce pressure, because children are under enormous pressure. So we reduce the pressure by making those goals bite-sized chunks that are manageable, and then just pushing them a little bit harder each time, but fundamentally having a bigger picture, getting children to dream really big.
So would these be goals you'd set in conjunction with the child?
You do, yes.
So you sit down and say, look, you know, I'm fed up of having to remind you every morning to brush your hair, brush your teeth. Let's see what your goal for this week is to do that every day, 3 times. How do you measure where to set it?
Well, I can explain it like a triangle. So the child is at the centre of the triangle. You have the parent at one side, the coach at the other side, and the school on the last point of the triangle. Now, traditionally, a child sort of doesn't have much control or say over the direction of their life, because adults, the people in the triangle, choose the direction for them. Naturally, that's part of life. However, when it comes to goal setting, there's various levels of goals. So it is important for the parent to have their goal. So a parent who wants their child to brush their hair, brush their teeth, get dressed, that is really the parent goal. It's going to make their life way easier than nagging every day. The school goal is generally the academic side. We all want children who can achieve academically and flourish at school and know how to learn. When it comes to coaching, that doesn't have to be a kid's life coach like myself, but it could be an independent adult, an auntie, an uncle, somebody who has an influence over the child who can encourage them and motivate them. Now, to get a child to buy into goals, they have to be empowered. But when they get told to do things, that's not goal setting. So it has to be phrased in such a way that that child actually takes ownership of it. So when my coaches that I train work with children, they phrase the goals very sneakily in such a way that children feel that they are making the choice, but they're just being gently guided and nudged in a specific direction. But ultimately, the ownership for that is the child's. And because they take ownership of it, that's why they succeed. Often when you tell children to do something and you don't give them the breathing space to actually maybe get it wrong, that's when things fall flat.
Because, you know, a child might think, well, why? It's easier, Mum, if you remind me to brush my hair,
And that's what happens. They become desensitized because they get reminded so constantly. They don't have to think for themselves. So it is really nice at a young age to incentivize things as well, but not to incentivize things with goals with material things, so not to buy things, but perhaps to have time as an incentive, special quality time together, or going out and doing something special as a family as an incentive if you reach a certain goal, which works really well with younger children. So that's your extrinsic motivation, which is external. And then ultimately, because that success feeling feels so good and it breeds confidence, it will eventually become intrinsic motivation, where the child will do things for themselves and others, hopefully.
And is there a certain length of time that kicks in? You know, if you do something for 3 or 4 weeks, it just becomes automatic.
Well, the University of London has researched 66 days to create a habit. That's the new research that's been released. 66 days to create a habit. And I'll tell you what's today's date, the 25th. So I'm 25 days in of caffeine free.
I've got
a long way to go. So I'm just checking if the research works for me. If after 66 days I'll go back to caffeine. But yes, that's what the research shows.
And what if the goals aren't reached, though? So your reward for reaching the goals would be we'd go to the park or something, and you can invite a friend along, or we'll have a picnic. What about if the goal isn't reached?
Well, that's also very much part of what I do as a kids' life coach, because sometimes life doesn't work out the way we want it to, and sometimes we do not reach our goals, but that's okay. It's about becoming adaptable and flexible enough to re-engineer those goals and redirect yourself. That's why I speak about having a big dream. If a child knows where they're headed, like, say, for example, they would, like, My niece said to me she wants to be a pilot. She's 8. So she wants to be a pilot. So what are the little steps she has to take in between to get to that? And if she deviates at one path or another, that's okay. But it's at having that adult to encourage her and remind her, do you remember that big dream? You haven't done well in your spelling test this week. You need to learn those spelling words because, do you remember, you need to learn how to be a pilot one day. So it's really tying into those big dreams and making it a bigger picture for the child as well.
So for something like, let's go back to the brushing your hair and brushing your teeth, you'd say, well,
you like
would you
that
say?
One, don't you?
Well, it's really speaking to me, yes. I have to tell my daughter to do that. So I still do, actually, my youngest daughter.
Okay.
So how would you make that tying into a big dream?
Okay. So everything that is linked to success is about respect. Respect for ourselves, first of all, being our own best friend. And to be your own best friend is about doing the best for yourself. And so by brushing your hair, brushing your teeth, getting dressed, tucking your shirt in, doing whatever it is you need to do to look presentable, that's showing that you respect yourself. People who respect themselves are people who achieve their goals. And ultimately, when you respect yourself, others will respect you, and it'll make your path towards your goal that much easier, because your inside world is always a reflection of your outside world. So there's a science behind it as well. When you explain it to children in terms of their brain physiology, I mean, I could go right into the science behind it with your reticular activating system that looks for opportunities out there and how the brain actually works. When a child understands that, then they'll start making better choices. But I suppose it's also about stepping back at one stage or another and allowing them to not brush their teeth and not brush their hair and see how that makes them feel after 3 days. and Mom will just have to bite her teeth.
And I suppose what happens, as I say, if the goals aren't achieved, do you just reframe the goals? Do you say, well, maybe this is, you know, that was too hard to ask you to do that 3 days in a row, so we'll go back down to do. We're not talking about punishment, are we, if the goals aren't
no
achieved?
No punishment at all. Goals should never, you should never be punished if a child doesn't achieve those goals. But yes, adapting and re-engineering, but also having a conversation and opening the lines of communication as to why that wasn't achieved. What are the obstacles? Because all bad behaviour is a sign of an unmet need in a child. So when a child is not brushing their teeth or you have to nag them to brush their hair, there's something else underlying that. What is it? Is it because they don't have enough time? Is it because they feel overwhelmed? Maybe they're procrastinating because they don't want to go to school and it's not a pleasant place for them. There could be always an underlying reason. So just have a conversation. And also sometimes pick your battles, because sometimes parents like to focus on the really small things when actually it's the bigger picture thinking. The teeth are not going to fall out after 2 days, but yeah. There could be a really good life's lesson in giving the child the opportunity to learn what it feels like to have really furry teeth for 2 to 3 days.
And we're talking about very practical things with that example, but I presume, you know, you can use it obviously in terms of behaviour, that, you know, let's go 3 days without you having a tantrum or losing your temper with your sister or whatever.
Yes. One of the things that adults like to do is set SMART goals. Specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, time orientated. Now, with children, we don't focus on SMART goals because it can be really tough for them to be realistic in their goals. And that's why I keep going back to the whole dream big thing, is we want children to come up with their own ideas. And ultimately, when you speak about a behavior goal, that's an adult goal. That's the parent's goal. That's not the child's goal. What is it that the child wants to achieve? Because ultimately, if the child achieves something, they are going to start behaving better anyway because they'll feel good about themselves. A child who makes bad choices is a child who isn't feeling like they have the respect that they deserve, or they're not being heard. So it's quite a complex situation, but easy to manage when children have a tour guide.
So things like a tantrum, you would frame it rather than let's go 3 days without you getting upset, or, you know, you'd try and turn it so you're looking at it from the child's
point. Well, you wouldn't focus on the tantrum. You would look at it from the point of view, how would it feel if you went for 3 days being really happy? What do you think it would look like if you had to look back at how it felt and what you achieved? What would that be like? Because we tend to focus on fixing behaviours, and goals should never fix behaviours. Goals should enhance skills and talents that are already present and strengthen the child and take them closer towards the direction that they want to go.
So if there are parents listening to this and there is something that they would like to, you know, change or in their child, they really should sort of sit down with the child, frame it from their perspective and set realistic goals.
Realistic goals that are bite-sized and manageable, and that the child chooses with the parent's support and assistance.
And not too many at once, presumably.
No, we focus on one a week. In 7-day increments is a really good time frame. One a week, and that really starts laying the habits of goal setting. And later on in life, you know, as adults, we need to have goals and we need to have more focus and more structure to those goals. But if you can lay the foundation early on, it becomes a natural process when the child grows into an adult.
Well, thank you, Zalna. And there's more about that on your website, kidslifestudio.com, and the wonderful team of life coaches that you have, and in your book, The Secret Parent.
Yes.
Your goal is to get, is this to get off caffeine completely?
Well, yes.
Is it?
No caffeine whatsoever. I don't react very well to caffeine, so it's a health choice.
Well done. Good luck. I mean, I'm doing dry January, and you know.
And how's that going for you?
Yeah, it's a long old month, January, isn't it? I've never quite really appreciated before. I'm in the final lap now. Mm. You know, I can say, well, this time next week.
It gets easier, doesn't it?
It's really interesting. I think it's really reframed how I've thought about drink. It's been the longest, probably, that I haven't gone for a drink since I was pregnant, so 14 years ago. So
well,
that, you know,
well,
that's
done.
Quite
well done. That's quite an achievement.
Yeah, but it's quite sobering to think about it, you know, that
I get
that way. So it has really made me think quite a lot.
I haven't had alcohol, oh gosh, for 8 years.
Really?
Yes, I quit alcohol completely 8 years ago.
Oh, well, gosh, it was, yeah. You're a better woman than I. Well, you can find out, as I say, find out more about Zalna's work, kidslifestudio.com, or in a book, The Secret Parent. We'll be speaking to you in a month or so's time, won't we?
Yes, wonderful. Thank you so much for your time, Lee.
Oh, lovely to see you again.